And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all, making our way through the garden hour here at Rosie on the House, as we do every single Saturday morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Jim, go ahead with your question, sir. And Peoria, talking prickly pears. Jim. All right. Let's see. Maybe Brian wants to talk citrus and Mesa. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you. Just citrus 101, guys.
Okay.
Time to prune them.
You missed last Saturday, didn't you?
I did. I'm so sorry. I thought you might have covered it this morning. And I was telling you, I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. So to prune them, to fertilize them. And then one question. I've got three of the best little navel oranges in the world. I mean, the juiciest oranges, no seeds. I love these things, and I know nothing about fruit. Over the last 4 or 5 years, it's like, you know, Larry, Curly, and Moe. You know, one is smaller, the next is a little bigger, and the one to the far right is bigger than all three. I assume because it's getting dwarfed with sun or something. I don't know. So I'll shut up and listen. How do I best take care of these prize three orange trees?
Well, fertilizing is probably the most important thing you do at least three times a year. And we recommend – it's actually – there's a feeding cycle coming up. The best way for me to remember it is Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. So sometime in those – time frame. So early spring, late spring or early summer, and late summer or early fall. Those three times. Use a good citrus fertilizer. Don't use here's a key. If it says citrus and avocado on it, probably not developed for Arizona. You want a citrus food that's got pretty high nitrogen in it because we lack so much nitrogen here. So Organo brand citrus food, Fertilome, one of those, or a high nitrogen type citrus food. Three times a year. Watering is the next most important thing. Citrus are not a desert plant. They need a good amount of water, especially in the summertime. So make sure you're really watering them good in the summer. And then probably the most misconception about citrus is they're not really a tree, they're a bush. Treat them like a bush. Prune them like a bush. Only prune them if there really is some reason to prune them. Maybe they're hanging over the sidewalk or something like that, but you don't go in and thin and prune back harsh citrus trees because it causes all kinds of sunburn and different problems. So if you want to try and keep it small, start shaping it while it's young and keep it, you know, shaped and keep it somewhat to size. Otherwise, you know, only pruning I do on my citrus trees is if they're hanging over the walk, or I can't walk around them, or they're slapping me in the face when I go by with my lawnmower. That's the extent of the pruning that my citrus get. That's it.
Less is more.
Exactly.
Less is more, and fertilize three times a year at least.
And lots of water in the summer, not so much water in the winter. I mean, most people underwater in the summer here and overwater in the winter. It's just the way it is.
Easy to do.
Yep.
Easy to do.
Citrus 101. There it is. For the first time ever, right here at Rosie on the House in the garden with John J. Harper.
You now are certified.
Let's bring in Peggy calling in from Tucson. Wants to talk about mesquite trees. Welcome, Peg.
Thank you for taking my call. My problem is I have a new Chilean thornless mesquite that was planted last October, and I've watered it like it said. Then I haven't watered it December, and I don't water it again, I think, till February, according to my directions. But my leaves are turning yellow. Do I need to do something? And how do I feed it? I don't know how to feed it.
Well, fertilize in sometime in February, early March. The yellowness on a mesquite, you know, mesquites are, especially a Chilean, you know, it's a South American hybrid. It doesn't like cold weather very much. It isn't going to kill it or anything, but it's going to probably try and go dormant on you. Not uncommon for them to lose all their leaves in the wintertime when it gets cold. So, you know, if don't water it much, it doesn't sound like you're doing much watering this time of year on those, that's fine. Fertilize it this spring. It should be fine. The yellowing is just kind of a natural wintertime occurrence on that tree.
We appreciate the call. As we clearly aligned, that is your opportunity to call. They have stayed lit all morning long at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Now to Kathy in Glendale. Welcome to the program, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I've got a problem. I've got a weed. I call it carrot top weed. It's low to the ground, takes over the grass, but it's got like one long root on it. And just regular weed killers have done absolutely nothing with it. I've got a problem now where I want to try to put pre-emergent down, but I also need to verticut my yard, and I'm getting mushrooms in it because we killed off we had a tree that we had pulled out, but the roots are still there. So I've got, you know, all these multiple problems going on. What is the order, and how should I handle this?
Well, I can feel that. It sounds like watercress. It's a little, looks like a little carrot. A little carrot plant, right?
Well, there's no carrot, obviously. No. Yeah, but it looks a little bit like it.
It's got a little taproot on it.
Yeah.
Pre-emerge it twice a year. Lawns, you can pre-emerge three times a year if you want.
Yeah.
Because the pre-emerge is watered out and diluted within a month. So that's why nobody warranties weeds in lawns. However, if you want a nice lawn, the lawn will fight. Once you help the lawn out with a pre-emergent, it will take over and kill all the weeds in there just by a strong, healthy lawn. That it'll maintain its vigor in that sense. So what we need to do is put Gallery. It's a really good pre-emergent. It works very well in lawns against broadleaf weeds.
And that little celery top looking carrot top, that's a broadleaf?
That's a broadleaf weed.
Oh, okay.
It is a broadleaf weed.
It's rampant in our garden. We fight it constantly.
Yeah, it looks almost like parsley.
Yeah.
And you control it with a any 2,4-D will take care of it at the right rates. Do you have a winter rye lawn in it, or do you have dormant Bermuda?
It's a dormant TIF.
A dormant TIF, so it's dormant Bermuda. Okay, is it mid iron or?
I've got actually dwarf TIF in the back, and I've got something like mid iron in the front.
All right. Well, then it's dormant. We can go a little heavier rate with a 2,4-D, and we will not hurt it. Where are you?
In Peoria.
Can you just call the office and call over there, and just we'll schedule it and come out and take a look and see exactly what it is, and then we'll treat from there.
Why don't you give her the phone number, Ray?
480-941-9471.
Good job. There we go.
Let's go to Cal. Talking Palo Verdes now. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Cal, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. I have a Palo Verde tree, and my neighbor was telling me that, I think I heard him right, he said that there's like a mistletoe growing in it or something, and he said it could be dangerous or it could kill the tree and I should cut it out, but I have no idea, and so I just kind of wanted your advice.
Well, it looks like kind of a dark ball up in the tree, kind of a miscolored.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's probably what you have, desert mistletoe. Doesn't look like the mistletoe we hang up in the house at Christmas time. Doesn't really have any leaves, but it has lots of berries in it. There's actually a little bird called a phainopapilla that lives native here in our desert, and he eats the berries and goes around and gets on other trees, and he's kind of
spreads
the culprit
it.
For spreading that mistletoe. And the only thing you can really do for mistletoe is prune it out. It is a parasite. It's actually growing, embedded, and living off of the Palo Verde tree's system. So if you try and spray it or treat it, you could potentially do more damage to the host organism, in this case, the Palo Verde tree. So prune it out. Be careful not to spread it when you do that. And then just as you see it, it's just kind of a battle because we've got this bird, going around and spreading it around. You just kind of have to keep pruning it out. It's not like it's going to kill the tree overnight. It's a very slow situation, and a lot of times it doesn't actually just kill them, but it can get to looking where it's kind of unsightly. You've got these big blobs of mistletoe growing up in your tree, so it's best probably to prune it out.
And when you said don't spread it, should you have someone with a trash bag underneath waiting to catch it as it falls out?
Yeah, not that necessarily, but you probably want to, if you cut through it or do anything, you may want to even just have a little Clorox or
wash your pruners off before
you prune a healthy plant somewhere. Not that that would spread it necessarily, but it doesn't hurt to take precautions.
Good luck with preserving your Palo Verde tree there, Cal. Let's bring Jackie into the conversation. Wants to talk about roses. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. I have a great yard. I'm sitting on about a half an acre, and the only things I can put out there that flower so far that I don't seem to kill are my cactus and my bougainvillea. But I love roses, and I've been trying to find out what I could plant that would do better in mostly full sun, if there is such a thing for a rose.
Well, do you have a desert gravel-type landscape, or do you have places where you have dedicated flower beds or planter beds?
I've had to make my planter beds. I get to dig up that lovely desert dirt, and then I go in with bark mulch, gypsum, and organic soil, mm-hmm. and create wherever I'm going to put my plant. I usually make the hole about two or three times bigger than what I'm going to need. Kind of give it some extra space, thinking if it's going to grow big any day, it'll mm-hmm. pick that up. But I'm still left in a lurch. I've tried bottle brush, and I seem to those just kind of disappear in a few weeks. And I just don't have really good luck with anything that, quote unquote, at the little garden centers, or I should say, the inexpensive places you stop. Probably help if I go to a better garden center where they say it's full sun, and I put it in full sun and go, oh, look, it's wilting, it's dying.
Well, roses, you know, certainly need at least a half a day of sun to bloom, and they will grow in full sun. In fact, we grow roses commercially here out on the west side of town.
Say, you've ever been on Glendale and Litchfield by Luke Air Force Base, just look on the north side.
Yeah,
in
the spring especially.
Huge acres.
Yeah, there's a number of rose growers. So they will grow here. Of course, those are getting flood irrigation and lots of water, and that's why I asked about the type of landscape you have. A rose bush is not something you just put in a desert landscape with gravel around it. It sounds like you're doing most of what you're doing right, so it could be the time of year which you're doing it. This is a great time to plant roses while it's nice and cool. Get them established before it's hot. Buy a good rose bush. Buy it from a garden center, a good number one rated rose bush, and plant it correctly, which it sounds like you're doing, and you should be fine.
We appreciate the call, and good luck with your bloom. It's Rosie on the house.